Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning. Welcome inside of this week's edition of The Word as we continue our series called Look to the Stars. This is part two of our series, and I do again welcome you inside the program. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast, June the 3rd, 2015. I'm Tom Sears, and it's my absolute honor to be here with you. Before we get into today's message, I'd like to invite you to tune in tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, that's Eastern Time. We will be bringing forth our What's Important Now radio program. We're going to start a brand new series on drug abuse and drug addiction, and it's a program you're not going to want to miss. And so we encourage you to tune in for that. Also, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so by writing whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. If you'd like to find out more about our church, New Beginnings Church, and again, we're located in Good Hope, West Virginia, you can visit newbeginningswv.com, newbeginningswv.com. And we just launched our own church app. And so if you, whether you have iPhone or an Android-based cell phone, a smartphone, if you search either in iTunes or, in the App Store, that's what I'm trying to say, or in the, I think it's Google Play with Android. If you search their New Beginnings Church, WV, you'll find us. Encourage you to download that and stay connected to our church. Make sure you sign up for the push notifications as anytime we send out a message or have an update or a brand new sermon or something online, you'll be notified. And you find us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio Program or WIN Radio Program, and follow me on Twitter, at T Sears WIN Radio. Okay, let's get to it. Again, thanks for being here. It is our prayer today that this will be challenging and encouraging. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. We come before you, as we have so many times before, completely and totally unworthy to even, in my opinion, call upon your name. But here we are, and we're here because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Lord, today as we go into your word, as we go into your message, I pray that you would help all of us understand you more, draw closer to you. Lord, let your word fill us here today. God, I pray that you would touch every person listening, whether it be live or archived. That, Father, when they hear this, they would be changed. There's no power in me, only that power in the Spirit, your Spirit, here today. We thank you for all things. We give you glory for all things. You alone are God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue our series here today on the Word. Look to the stars. And, you know, as we've been talking about the life of Abraham, there are several things that we can get from today's message and from the life of Abraham altogether. And that is that we should never sacrifice our walk with God for money, for popularity, or for material possessions. And I want to talk to you today about your altars because their significance. Your altar is significant. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. It's about having proper priorities. You think about someone like Jonathan Edwards. He became the father of the Great Awakening because he knew what his purpose was. You think about Charles Finney. He brought revival during the Civil War because he was focused on what his purpose was. John Wesley preached to the miners in the Virginian coal mines with great success because he was committed and he understood what his purpose was. We'll never know about some individuals. I think of the rich young ruler who went to Jesus and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Sell all that you have and follow me." And he dropped his head. And see, his possessions, his wealth, they got in the way of his relationship with God. And today, I want you to understand that there can't be anything that gets in your way. And I've often told people that we are our own worst enemy. I know you've heard that before, but we are. We are our own worst enemy. We get in the way of what God has in store for us. You think about all the people that have had a calling of God on their life, that God has had a purpose for, and they go in a different direction because of improper priorities. Think about this. What if Peter and James and John would have stayed in their boats? What if Paul would have merely been a tent maker? What if that rich young ruler hadn't just dropped his head? The Bible, without a doubt, is the most brilliant book that we have ever had access to. And it uses methods of comparison to illustrate all these spiritual principles. And I want to share some of those with you, if I can. Think about Cain and Abel. Think about Moses and Aaron. Think about Samuel and Saul. Think about David and Solomon. Think about Abraham and Lot. If you take a look at Abraham and Lot specifically, you look at their lives, it gives us an understanding of the importance of pitching tents and building altars. There's always been men who walked with God, and then there's always been men who walked with men. David walked with God, but Joab walked with David. Paul walked with God, but Demas walked with Paul. Abraham walked with God, but Lot walked with, Abraham. And so there's altars in our lives. And they are to be carefully constructed. They're not built merely in places of crisis or stress or when things are bad or when things are difficult. But rather, the altar is to be the daily place where we go to allow God to shape us, where we allow God to reach us, where we allow God to mold us and make us so that we can fulfill His purpose here on earth. I grew up, I can remember coming into church as a young boy and seeing the altar, an old wooden altar. People were there praying, and I can remember them crying, and I can remember all these things. And I remembered at the time, as a child, I couldn't quite figure everything out. All I knew is that I had to be quiet or my granny would get on me. But as I've grown older, especially since I've started in ministry, I've begun to understand the importance of the altars we establish in our lives. This. The altar was the first thing that met the priest on his way to the Holy of Holies in the old tabernacle. The altar was the centerpiece of the temple that Solomon constructed. The altar is not only a place of sacrifice, but it's also a place of judgment. The altar is a place of worship and devotion, but it's also a place of blessing. Today, on the Word, I want to talk about Abraham's altars, the ones that he constructed, so that we can look at those and apply the principle to our lives today. I mentioned growing up and seeing people pray around that old altar. And I can remember as I got older, it was time to put some new carpet down. I remember we had to take up the altar to put down that carpet, and that altar, it needed repair. Let's put it that way. It was wobbly. And I've reflected on that a lot. It's because it was used. You see, far too many times we go to the Lord in prayer, we establish an altar or a prayer closet only in times of distress or trouble. But you see, I believe that God wants more than anything a relationship with us. Today, you live because he gave you the breath of life. We're not all guaranteed that breath tomorrow, but he gave it to us today. And as I tell people all the time, that means you have been preserved for future use. He brought you to this moment for something. I believe we are all being groomed for at least one sermon. You see, preachers aren't the only ones that preach sermons. Our lives, they're a sermon. Our experiences, they're a sermon. And I want you to know today, to be encouraged that, you know, some of the things that you've been through in your life, God wants to use that. Did you hear me? God wants to use that to speak into someone else's life, because someone else is going through the exact same thing. But what the enemy does a lot of times is he tears down our altars, or he makes room for us to tear them down. We allow him to tear them down, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And the reality of it is that a close relationship with God, God begins to mold us. He begins to make us. He begins to challenge us to be the person that he's called us to be. But Abraham had five great altars in his life. And they went through years of altars. I mean, there were certain altars that he went to more often than others. And there was one altar that he went to just once. But it was enough for God to see what kind of man that Abraham was. And that first altar was in Shechem. If you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "And Abram took Sarai," or Sarah, "his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, and they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto your seed I will give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Now this is the first altar that Abraham built. He built this altar after God had called him to leave what he had known. And this is an important altar. Again, because it's his first. It's that moment of choice. It's that moment of thanksgiving. It's that moment of worship. And first altars are always important because they carry memories. I can think of the first altars in my life. And I'm speaking spiritually here. I'm not necessarily speaking physically. But those first altars, those first moments with God, they carry these precious memories. And when we think about them, they stir our heart. If you look at the word Shechem, it means shoulder. And when you think about this biblically, and you understand the significance of this, we understand that shoulder means to bear burdens. In Isaiah 10, chapter 27, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." What he's saying is, the prophet Isaiah is saying, is that weight, the weight of whatever will be lifted, but not only lifted, it will be destroyed. Abraham understood that first altar was a place he was going to leave his burdens. It's that moment where he left his concerns. Not that concerns would not come back, not that burdens would not arrive, but at Shechem, he made a decision that I will let the Lord shoulder my burdens. And that's the importance, and that's the principle that we can apply in our lives today. See, I'm not talking about constructing a physical altar. I do believe that we as Christians, we need a place to go. We need a place, a quiet place to get alone with God. And when we get alone with God, and this is the principle that we can place into our lives today, when we get alone with God, one of the things that He does and can do is shoulder our burdens. Isn't that a wonderful thought this morning? That He can shoulder the heaviness. He can take off of us the stress and the anxiety that this life brings. I've seen some very difficult things in my life. I've seen young people whose parents are praying for a miracle and they don't get it. And that weight can be lifted. That burden can be lifted because of the presence of God. He enables us to go through things that we could not typically or normally go through because He bears the burden. He lifts the weight. So what burdens do you have in your life today? Is it a burden of sin? Maybe it's failure. Maybe it's guilt. Whatever the burden may be, you got to leave it at the altar. And you can do that today. He will take that burden today. And a lot of you listening, you know this, but you haven't put it into practice. And that's why I started off the program by saying, listen, it's not just a place to go to every once in a while. We can go to God anytime and let Him take the burdens of this life. But Abraham built two more altars. He built them at Bethel. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed I will give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis 13, verses 3 and 4, and he went on his journey from south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Again, he built two altars at Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. Now, when he built his first altar, it was after God had extended covenant to him. Covenant, a vow. God partnered with Abraham. And then when he came the second time to Bethel, he came after failure. He had experienced failure in the land of Egypt, and he came to Bethel after a famine. He came to Bethel after lying to Pharaoh about Sarah, his wife. He came to Bethel blessed with cattle and silver and gold. But regardless, he came to Bethel. See, our social position in life, it's not as important as having an altar. All of us, at one point in time in our lives, have chased dreams. There's been things that we have desired. There's been things that we have longed for. And sometimes, in chasing those dreams, we lose sight of the things that are most important. And the most important of all is a relationship with God. That relationship. Bethel means house of God, and that is the altar that Abraham went to the most. I believe this, and you may say, well, it's because you're a pastor. I genuinely believe this. Some of our greatest altars are in the house of God. Now think about what I'm trying to say, and let's put it in the proper context. I believe that our prayer time and our time with God should be every single day. We take that time. We show Him that He means so much to us. We turn off the TV for a little bit, or instead of starting the day with a television program, start it with some Bible reading and some prayer, whatever. And those are special altars because it's that intimacy. but there's something about the house of God. I first heard of Jesus, Bethel, or the house of God. I gave my heart to Jesus at Bethel. I gave my life and my plans to Jesus at the house of God. And there's something about corporate prayer. There's something about strength in numbers. People coming together where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be also. Where two or three agree upon one thing is touching, it shall be done. This is all Bible. And there's something about Bethel. There's something about the house of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, especially as we see that day approaching. On the What's Important Now radio program, we talk a great deal about things that are happening in society. And if you listen to that program, and if you listen to the news reports that we cover, there is something that is very clear. That day is approaching. I don't know when, I don't know how long, but that day is approaching. Our greatest altars are at the house of God. Don't neglect the assembling together. Wherever you are, whether you're listening on the other side of the world or right here in America somewhere, don't neglect assembling together in a church. We have allowed everything else to become so much more important. And you may say, well, you're a pastor and that's easy. It's easy for you. The house of God is important. I have days where I wake up and I just want to push snooze and go back to sleep. But really, one of the greatest things about being a Christian is that we put the flesh to rest, or at least it's a constant struggle trying to do so. There's a lot of times I don't feel like getting behind the pulpit and delivering a sermon. But there's nothing like the house of God. Again, Abraham went there the most. The altars in the house of God are special. They're altars of repentance. They're altars of consecration. They're altars of blessing. And they're altars of spiritual direction. So I encourage you, yes, have that time with God daily. Have that time with God every single day. But don't neglect Bethel. Another altar is at Hebron. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, this is interesting because this all time of separation. Abraham had separated himself from Lot. Lot went and pitched a tent, and Abraham went and built an altar. Listen to me, and this is one of the hardest lessons that I think I've ever had to learn, because I care, and these things bother me, they trouble me. But the fact of the matter is, there are times in our lives that we have to cut loose from Lot so that we can receive that spiritual blessing or that direction that we need. And when that time of separation comes, then we can walk into a place where distractions have been discarded, we've built that altar, and the full will of God can come about in our lives. That doesn't mean that all of our troubles disappear, but we're moving towards the place that God would have for us. Hebron means league, confederacy, or alliance. And I know that sounds so interesting because I just told you about cutting away or breaking away or separating yourself. Listen, there may be someone in your life that's holding you back. There may be circumstances in your life that are holding you back. There may be relationships or issues in your life that are holding you back from walking in the fullness of what God would have for you. And so when I say that Hebron is a league or a confederacy or alliance, I know it sounds so odd because I said separation, but the reality of it is, it was the moment where Abraham said, no relationship matters to me more than my relationship with God. And that's why It's such a powerful principle for our lives today, because there is to be nothing that is to be greater in our lives than our relationship with God. Too many of us have spent way too much time carrying Lot around, pushing Lot around, persuading Lot, urging Lot, badgering Lot, coaxing Lot, hauling Lot. And while we're doing all of that, we can't get a grasp on God. We must be willing to rid ourselves of the lots that we think are so important. It doesn't necessarily mean a person. It could be things. But Hebron is the place where we rid ourselves of the things that don't matter. We cut loose, we separate, we come out from among them and become a separate people and make an alliance with God. And I'm quickly running out of time here today. So I want to move on to our final altar, because this is the one that impacts me so. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, the Bible says, "And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell you of." This is Abraham's final altar, the altar at Moriah. This is the one that will, in my opinion, challenge him like he's never been challenged. For those of you that know the story of Abraham and Isaac, you know that Isaac was promised. And Isaac was given at an old age for Abraham and Sarah. But this altar at Moriah would be the one that would shape Abraham for the rest of his life. And I'm going to say today that we all must go to Moriah. We all must go to that place. Our will is not as important as God's will. It's the moment where all of our dreams, all of our thoughts, all of our hopes, they're laying there on this altar, and we're giving them all to God. That's what Abraham did. He took his love, he took his son, Isaac, and he laid them there, and he was willing to follow through with what God was asking him to do. Now, we know the end of the story. God showed up, God made a way. But the reality of it is that Abraham had made up in his mind, and more importantly, in his heart, that God meant more than Isaac, and obeying God meant more than having the promise remain. This is an altar that I guarantee you he wasn't liking all too well. He shrank back from it. It's an altar that he had to climb a mountain to get to, and it's an altar that would crush the heart of his wife and pierce the heart of his son Isaac. There'll be altars in our lives that will have the same magnitude getting to that altar. Because Moriah demands all of us. Listen to me today. Moriah is the place that demands all of your commitment. Moriah is the place where God will call preachers, he'll call missionaries, he'll call pastors' wives. It's a sacred place of sweet triumph. But it's also the hardest altar, the hardest decision. It's the most challenging. It's the Garden of Gethsemane moment where we pray, "Not my will, but thine be done." It's so difficult because, listen, we live in a world where we just want to be happy. We live in a world where we just want to get through. But I'm here to tell you today, please listen to me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I'm speaking to someone right now. You have not been placed here to occupy space. You've not been placed here to just occupy time. You have a purpose. And I can't give you your purpose today. I can't tell you. I may be able to help you, but I can't tell you what your purpose is. You've got to go to God. You've got to go to the Father. You've got to go to Moriah and ask him, "Lord, what is it you have for me? Remember, at these altars, you can take your burdens, you can take your sin, you can take everything, and you take it to the altar. And if you're saying to yourself right now, I'm not worthy, no, you're not, and I'm not either. No one is. But I've made far too many mistakes. The guy you're hearing right now can write volumes on mistakes. Don't let that hold you back. You're better than this. You have a purpose. God wants to do amazing things in your life, but are you expecting? And in next week's message, we're going to talk about that expectation, about having a dream, because we serve a big God. Don't just bide your time. You're not called for that. If I could ask you today, what are you holding back? What are you waiting on? If you take a look at the two men that's a part of our text today, you see Abraham and you see Lot. You've seen that Abraham built his altars and Lot pitched his tents. You see that Abraham had his own altars and Lot borrowed Abraham's altars. You see Abraham walked by faith, but Lot, he walked by sight. Abraham was generous and selfless, and Lot was worldly and greedy. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God, and Lot found a city built by men and destroyed by God. Abraham became an heir of the world through righteousness, and Lot, the last mention of him is found in Genesis. He's deserted in a cave with all of his, he's in a deserted cave with all of his possessions. I'm here to tell you today that Lot was concerned more about his tents than his altars. Think about that. Lot was concerned more about his possessions and the things he had than about his relationship with God. Whereas Abraham proved time and time again that he was far more concerned about obeying God and his relationship with God than he was his things. Tents are temporary. Please hear me today. These tents that we are constructing, and they may be top-of-the-line tents. We may have the best of the best in this life, and every bit of it is temporary. Would we not rather obey God and make a difference in this world? Wouldn't we rather seek His face and allow Him to mold us and make us and shape us into the person that He's called us to be? Wouldn't we rather be that person than someone who just has all this stuff? Maybe we're the life of the party, but we're dead inside. Wouldn't we rather have an altar than a tent? Wouldn't we rather have a sacred, intimate relationship with God than to just build up things here on this earth? Lot thought more of his tent than he thought of his altars. Lot, he went in the wrong direction. Tents are temporary dwelling places. Altars have to be built because they become permanent places in our lives. An altar can support you. A tent's never going to be able to hold you up. Tents are made of things like cloth or tarps. They have to be patched. An altar's forever. Because if you, the builder, have a commitment, that altar never has to be patched. A tent is where man lives. An altar is where God lives. A tent was the place of Noah's sin and of Sarah's laugh. But an altar is where the fire of God fell for Elijah. You see, there is no comparison between tents and altars. But even right now, many of us, maybe some of you listening, you're trying your best to hold up your tent. Your priorities are out of whack. We need something permanent in our lives, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a train wreck. I believe it was in Europe, and it happened years ago. And while going, a lot of people dead, hundreds of people, while going through the wreckage, rescuers and search workers, they could hear a small child. When they removed the wreckage, laying underneath her dead mother was a 3 or 4 year old little girl. They took her to the hospital. And by the way, when they pulled the body of her mother off, the child never cried, never had any problems leaving her mother, just went. Well, they checked her out. She just had some bumps and some bruises, nothing major. Working with her, they noticed that she had one of her fists were clenched, her hands were clenched into a fist. And it remained that way. And they couldn't figure out if maybe there was some damage or something that they didn't see. And so they were trying to pry that little girl's hand open. And this girl never made a sound the entire time until they tried to pry that hand open. And then she started screaming and saying, no, 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 no. You know, in their minds, they're thinking, well, maybe her mother gave her something and she refuses to let go. Well, they finally got her hand open and it was a piece of candy. She's 3 or 4 years old, but she had improper priorities. Cried over her mom, but she cried over the candy. Again, she's 3 or 4 years old. We are a little older, at least, and some wiser, I hope. We can understand and value the important things in our lives, the important people that God has placed in our lives, our loved ones, our friends. We need to quit trying to depend on tents. When the troubles of life come, tent can't protect you. I've been camping or hiking or in the woods in tents during storms, and let me tell you, if you've ever been in a severe thunderstorm in the middle of a wilderness somewhere, you know what I'm talking about. It is one of the more frightening things you'll ever experience, because you realize how insignificant that tent is. That tent cannot protect you if a tree falls. It does not shelter you well enough from the elements. Yet many of us are living our lives today putting so much trust in our tents. And please understand that our tents are those things we have. Maybe we've put a lot of trust in our jobs or in our homes or our security or our wealth or whatever. And it goes on the other side as well. Many times we are depressed because we don't have enough of something in our minds. We don't think there's enough money, or house is not nice enough, or the car I drive is not good enough. Everything you have, the Bible says every good thing comes from God above. And even, and I've traveled, I've seen this. Something I've told people is that in one of my trips in India, I saw a young little boy, I don't know, somewhere between the age of 3 and 5, nursing from a dog. That's poverty. That's poverty. And even in some of our worst conditions in America, we're still in the top 10% of the world's wealthiest. Isn't that crazy? But yet we're putting so much into our tents. We're building our kingdoms here on earth when the Bible says to set your affections on things above rather than on things below. And a lot of people have said that we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but a lot of people are so earthly minded they're not any heavenly good. It's about priorities. It's about putting the important things first. And God's got to be at the top of the list. Abraham proved that. Lot proved that God wasn't at the top of the list, and you can see the comparison in their lives. Abraham was a life that was blessed. God kept his word. God kept his promises. And Lot ended up in a deserted cave with everything he had. He had all of his possessions. He had all of his tents. But that's it. That's all he had. Today, as we're closing out our program, today I want to challenge you to make sure that you're getting alone with God. Have a relationship with God. Remember what we talked about. He's the God that can shoulder your burdens. He's the God that can show up, and the importance of being in the house of God, there's no place like Bethel. Remember, he's the God at Hebron, where sometimes you got to cut away from the things in your life that are meaningless or pointless or are just taking up your time and are becoming a huge distraction. Sometimes you got to cut away from those things and make an alliance with God. And then remember Moriah, because at Moriah, I believe that is where you decide that no matter what, you are going to do what God wants you to do. It's a choice that has to be made. All of us are making choices. All of us are making choices and decisions. We talked a little bit about decisions last week on the program, about making right decisions, and I told you that if you have strong values and morals, decisions become easy. Let's make sure that we're nurturing our values and nurturing our morals by going to the author and the finisher of our faith. I referenced as a little boy seeing people gathering around the altar. I still remember those days. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. Sometimes as a little boy, I wish they would have quit praying. But I'm thankful that they led by example and they set an example. Because today, unfortunately, our sweet hour of prayer has turned into 5 minutes. It's turned into now I lay me down to sleep. There's no real passion or intimacy with our God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can look all around you in society today. You can see all the things happening in the world today and realize things are out of order. You know, one of the big things, and this is not going to be popular, but that's okay because I'm not in a popularity contest. One of the things that's hitting the news today is Bruce Jenner, who has transitioned into a woman. And it's all, he won an award for heroism. And the runner-up was an Iraqi war veteran who lost limbs. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not a society that's out of order, I don't know what is. You know, the Bible says that we will, in the last days, call good evil and evil good. We're living in some very challenging times. We are living in some very challenging times, and there's no hope or help for us but in the person, Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you today. Set aside time. You know, the daily devotions that we have with God are under attack because the enemy knows that it's our source of strength and of power every day that we need. Jesus said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. He goes on to say that if you're not producing fruit, you'll be cut off. And basically, if you're not plugged in, you'll have no power. What we have today is not sufficient for what we need for tomorrow. We need more of him, more of him, more of him. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to realize that your daily devotion is under attack. Your private Bible reading and prayer time is under attack. And we walk foolishly without recognizing that it's right there in front of us to fix. It's in our hands. It's not out of our hands. It's in our hands to fix. We can start our day 15 minutes earlier and pray. But I'm so tired. But you should have thought about that when you stayed up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching something on television. You can give up 15 minutes. Make a statement when you bow your head over your food. And I'm not telling you how to live your life or what to do. What I'm saying is I'm trying to encourage you with some ideas of how you can find time in your life to communicate with the Father. Maybe it's on your way to work. Turn the radio off to Him for a moment. I've heard people say all the time, I don't have time to read my Bible. Listen, we have more technology in today's society than ever in human history. Your smartphones will talk to you. It will read the Bible to you. There are apps that will literally read the Bible to you. You can do that. You can drive down the road and if you throw a CD in the CD player or over iTunes or anything. There are so many ways. So many different things. There's really, I guess what I'm trying to say, there are not any excuses, valid excuses, for us not to be nurturing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He longs for it. He loves us. He is madly, madly in love with us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for showing to us the importance or the significance of our altars, our time with You, our moments of prayer, our moments of Bible reading, our moments of giving burdens over to You, our moments where we choose that no matter what, we're going to follow You. Father, thank You for giving us Your word today. I'm going to pray that every person listening be encouraged and strengthened by Your word, but Father, also challenged by it. Lord, as we discuss today, God, there's really no, we have no excuse. We're without excuse. Yet we realize how broken we are. And we pray that You would help us and You would encourage us. Remind us, O Lord, remind us that You love us, that You care for us. Remind us that You just want to spend some time with us. Hallelujah. Remind us, Lord. Father, forgive us for all of our shortcomings, and Lord, they are many. Forgive us for our failures. Strengthen us and help us. We take Your hand today. Father, we repent that our priorities are out of line. We repent for the times that we've wasted so much time. We repent. Help us to do better. Father, I pray for every person listening out there, whether it be live or archived, it doesn't matter. When they hear this, if they're going through anything in their life, God, in their mind, in their body, Lord, whatever it may be, I'm praying for them today. And I'm asking You to touch them. I'm asking You to minister to them. I'm asking You to, Lord, for the one who's been praying and praying and praying, and it seems like there is no answer. Father, I'm praying You show up. Show up on their behalf. Give them, even Lord, if it's just a glimpse of hope, let them see light at the end of the tunnel, Father. Lord, I know what it's like many times to have felt like I was not going to make it. I pray today, God, that You give every person out there strength to take that next step. And Lord, above all, if there be anyone listening who does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray today that they realize that there is no name under heaven by which men can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Today, let them open up their heart and invite You in. Today, let them make a change. God, we give You glory. God, we thank You for all things. You alone are God, and we love You. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in to our program today. I want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, live, as we bring you a new series of programs covering the drug abuse issue. And it's our goal that as we move forward, you're going to hear from people that have battled drug addiction and that have faced drug addiction and what it's done to their families and what it's done in their lives. And so, encouraging you to tune in for that. Also, every week we have new programming, and of course, the Word, Look to the Stars Part 3 will be next week, 1 week from today, same time. If you'd like to contact us by email, do so by writing whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. You can write us by mail at 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can visit us online at newbeginningswv.com, newbeginningswv.com. And we just, as a matter of fact, within the last 24 hours, we just launched our church app. And you know, we'll have newsletters and messages from me on there, you know, through a blog. And then also you can get like information on how to contact us. And then, of course, we'll have our media section of the app as well, where you can right there on your smartphone listen. As a matter of fact, we've got two programs uploaded right now. One called The History of Prayer in Schools. And it's a 30-minute program, but it's jam-packed full of a ton of information about the history of prayer in schools. We literally go from the foundation of the country all the way to today, and it's a program you can listen to on the church app. And also we have on there a program called The Decay of America, and it just talks about how morality is lacking in our country today. So we encourage you to check those out. And if you would like to download that app, we encourage you to do so. If you're an iPhone user or an iPad user, you can go to the App Store and search New Beginnings Church, WV. And it looks like a little plant growing. It says New Beginnings. That's ours. You can download it and to your phone. And if you're an Android user, you can go, I think it's Google Play Store or whatever it's called. But anyway, New Beginnings Church, WV, download it, and you can listen there and have our app as well. And I encourage you to do that. In addition, you can find us on Facebook at What's Important Now Radio Program or WIN Radio Program. And you can follow me on Twitter at T Sears WIN Radio, T Sears WIN Radio. Okay, I think that's about it. Again, encourage you to tune back in again a week from today for The Word, Look to the Stars, Part 3. We're going to talk about how God has called us to dream big, that He is not a small God. He is a big God, and that many of the dreams that we have, although they seem impossible, think about Abraham and Isaac, they seem impossible, but God is in them, and He's calling us to walk in that impossible dream. Let me give you just a tidbit if I can. I wish I almost had more time. I'd get into it today. When Walt Disney died, he never got to see the opening of Walt Disney World in Florida. A newspaper reporter asked his wife, "Are you saddened by the fact that he never got to see this?" And she abruptly and immediately said, "He did see it. That's why it's here." I want to encourage you, and again, tune in next week. We're going to get into it in detail. I want to encourage you to dream that dream. Dream that dream. Because chase what you see. Without a vision, the people perish. All right, I'm out of time. Tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We start our series on drug abuse. Thanks for being a part of our program. It's our prayer that God bless you and keep you. And until next time, this has been The Word. I'm Tom Sears. Thank you, and God bless.